So we left off in the previous year. We were discussing a klal in Hilchos Sfeik Sfeik, and it tells us it was mechadesh based on some of the intricacies of our sugya. Taisus told us that even though Sfeik Sfeik is valid in halacha, one has to be very careful that if you're going to be makil on something based on a Sfeik Sfeik, and then around the corner you're going to have another Sfeik Sfeik a day later, a week later, a month later, that's going to work almost in the exact opposite direction. Namely, whatever tzadim, whatever sides that you use to be makel today are going to be used the opposite sides to be makel next week. Tosis gave you a very, very complicated, convoluted Sfeik Sfeik in Asugya, that today we want to be makel, that maybe the birth was on Sunday, and maybe it was a girl, and the next week we want to be makel, maybe the birth was on Monday, and it's a boy. So it says Tosis, although each Sfeik Sfeik is independently acceptable, but if you start to mix and mash the Sfeik Sfeik, you run into a situation of a Sfeik Sfeik, the Sasri Ahadadi, and a Sfeik Sfeik that Sosir itself is not acceptable. You have to take all the Sfeik Sfeik, throw them all out the window. That was Tosis klal that emanated from Asugya. So we raised the question, what is this based on? Where does this come from? What kind of an idea is this? So Rabbi Chanan let us walk this down the path. And Rabbi Chanan discovered a Tosis for us of a Sechas Vachem and of Ayin. But Tosis quotes for Rabbi Natam a very similar notion when it comes to following Rov. Rov is phenomenal, is gevaldik, the greatest thing in the world, Echaram Hathas. The only thing is that if you follow Rov today, and then you turn around and follow Rov 10 minutes from now, and the two roves end up contradicting each other, that's not acceptable. What was the context of Rabbi Natam? Rabbi Natam was talking about a very, very strange case that appears in the Gemara about you have a multiple people who are all Chayav Mises based in. Some of them are Chayav Skila, some of them are Chayav Sreifa. So the Mishnah, Masechet Sanhedrin, throws its hands up and says, if you have a bunch of people who are Chayav Misa, and you don't know who's Chayav what, you can't give anybody more than they deserve. You have to give everybody the lowest possible level, because that would be incorrect to be manish somebody, to punish somebody more than they're entitled to. Less, never what can you do, a hands are tied. But to give them more, that's impossible. So Esther ben Atam, Alom de Shashayla, why don't we say, follow the Rove? After all, we do follow Rove when it comes to Din Nefashos, so let's follow Rove. So there are many, many different routes given to this question. So one of the answers that Tosfos quotes is that to follow Rove here would be a contradiction in terms. Because at the end of the day, you know that they're not all Chayav Skilo. You know they're not all Chayav Sreifa. The problem is you don't know. That's exactly what your dilemma is. So it comes a bit of time and says to follow Rove and turn around to be Machmir on everybody, Shaloi Kedin, that's going to be a Tata Disaster. That's going to be a contradiction. And Rove is great and wonderful, phenomenal, but it can't work in a situation of a Tata Disaster. So we find two different Taisim in two very, very different areas of halacha, two very, very different Masechtas. The Taisim is tucked away in Bavakamad of Yud Aleph, that's putting the brakes on Sveik Sveik and telling us Sveik Sveika cannot be effective in a situation of Tata Disaster. Then you have a Taisim tucked away in Zvachim of Ayin in the name of Rabbi Natam, who says that a Rove is not effective in a situation of Tata Disaster. So we connected the dots and said, wait a second, they're probably saying the same thing. Because falling back with the Rashba from last week, the Rashba says, well, every Sfeik Sfeika is ultimately rooted in Rove. But Sfeik Sfeika really is a situation of a Rove. It's a Rove of logical possibility. It's a Rove on the blackboard. It's a Rove of possible outcomes. And therefore, since Sfeik Sfeika is midin Rove, and Rove is not acceptable in a situation of a Tata Disasre, so the corollary of that is that a Sfeik Sfeika in a situation of a Tata Disasre is not acceptable either. So that was the background of what we're up to at this point. But then we just added one Kedesh. Why should that be so? Why conceptually should Roves and by extension Sfeik Sfeikas fail us in situations of Tata Disasre? So we connected this to the famous question, what is the goal of a Rove? Is the goal of a Rove to be Mevarer, to really tell us, to discern, to tell us with certainty what the facts are? Well, no, Rove, we have no idea. Just because there's an 80% chance doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way it is. It's ultimately just a possibility. It's a Dinan Hoga, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. The Torah is Mechadish to us that you have a right to follow Rove, even though between you and me, you don't really know what the facts are. You don't know any more than you knew beforehand. But Alpha Bichayin, it's a Dinan Hoga, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. So we said, if you hold that Rove is a Bureau, so then we can begin to understand what Tosfos' hesitation is. How can you be Mevarer two contradictory statements? How can you say, it's like saying the old joke, you know, you're right, and he's right. You can't all be right. I mean, at the end of the day, Rove cannot be Mevarer two things if the two things are mutually exclusive to one another. But if the goal of Rove is simply just to say, listen, we don't know what the beer is. We have no clue what the real Metzius is. Just the Torah says, be makel, the Torah says, be mach, the Torah says, follow Rav and finish. So then good, so we'll follow Rav today, and we'll follow a different Rav tomorrow, we'll follow a third Rav the next day. Each Rav is contradicting the other Rav. Who cares? Mach batli. I'm not in the world of being mevar metzias anyway. I'm just in the world of the almost al yorim of what the halacha is of a din anhaga. I can have contradictory statements. So that's pretty much where we left off in the previous year. But now,
she does say you could say that Tosfos is saying the shit that we learned that Tosfos needs to come up with this chiddush that not saying rov when it shows herself because bedini nefashos Tosfos would hold normally that he would follow rov. In accordance to that, Sheish Rhymes that we learned all of
Very good, excellent, very good. So Tosfos actually prefaced their question by saying that if the rule, don't we know that you follow rule by the Nefashos, right? And Nochanami, if you would hold like that, one day in Tosfos, all the Sheish Rhymes, that would avoid the question in the first place. Nochanami, very good, excellent. So notwithstanding everything we've just said about Rov and by extension Sveikas, that it's just clearly not acceptable in mutually exclusive situations, there is another area of halacha that's very similar to Rov, and that's the principle of Chazaka Meikara, something we've also spent a lot of time talking about. When I have a status quo, so I don't know what to do. So what did I do yesterday? What happened last week? What was the status last month? So the Torah tells us, based on Psukim and Parshas Metzorah, Psukim the first Pesach of Chulin, that when you don't know what to do, you have a latest Asafik, so you should tell of Chazak, you follow whatever the status quo was. So now, when it comes to following the status quo, if it comes to Chazakah, all of a sudden we see the rules begin to change a little bit. That all of a sudden, we're going to introduce the possibility of following a Chazakah, even in a situation of attack to disaster. And that's going to become problematic. So first we have to identify those facts. Is that really true? Do we truly follow Chazakah in a case of attack to disaster? And if we can identify a sugya that does say that, then we really have a dilemma on our hands. And we have to understand, so manishtana the two. Why is it when it comes to the parasha of Rov, so, sorry, the buck stops here, tied to the sasha is not going to work. When it comes to Chazaka, everything is hunky-dory, everything is great, everything is wonderful. So let's break down the sugya into two parts. So first, let's just identify, find what the halacha actually is. And if and when we succeed in finding a case in the Gemara that Chazak applies even against the Tata Disasre, then to conceptualize why it is different from Rav. So if we go back to the 11th of the Marma Kamos, we just barely began to read it on the previous year. So it's a Sugi Psachem Daf Yoda Ben Aleph, the Snan, Shnei Shvilin. There are two paths, Echa Tavim Vecha Tohar. So one of them we know for a fact has a dead body buried underneath it in such a way that if you would walk on that path, you would become Tameh. And the other one does not. The only problem is we have no idea which is which. Now a fellow walks on one of those paths, and then he goes ahead and he touches something that was beforehand Tahar. And his friend goes on the other path, and he also subsequently touches Taharos. I didn't say the same Taharos, two different cases of Taharos. So Ruvain is now a Safek Tameh Safek Tar, and Shimon is a Safek Tameh Safek Tar. So what do you do? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Nishalu Zebif Le'atzvo, V'Zebif Le'atzvo Tahorin. Rabbi Yehuda says that if each one asks the Shaila separately, then we have a right to Paskin Tahor. Why do we have a right to Paskin Tahor? Each one maybe Tameh, isn't that a Safek? So that's a question, right? So many of the Rishonim, we're going to work with the premise right now that the reason why we have a right to Paskin Tar in each one is because of Chazaka. That each one has a Cheskes Tara. Each one used to be Tar. I know that I was Tar before I walked down these two paths. So now there's a latest Safek. So I follow my original Chazaka. So Rabbi Yehuda says that each one asks the Shaila independently. So the Beis Din listens to Ruvain at 9 o'clock in the morning, listens to Shimon at 10 o'clock in the morning, they Paskin Tar. However, Shneim of Asachas Tameya. But if Reuben and Shimon come together to Beis Din, so then Beis Din cannot issue such a psach. They cannot say your Torah and your Torah. That's contradictory. So Beis Din has no choice. We don't know who is Torah, who is not Torah. So never we can't bask in both Torah. We have to bask in the both Tameya.
Send one away.
Oh, so
yeah. That's only if we don't know
like
which path is.
Okay,
not whether they forgot which one they went down, right? Because I think last time you mentioned, like, if he didn't know which path he took, like, we know the left path is Tameh, but
okay, see, what is it?
Could have each taken the same path, the same
right?
Path.
Okay, so we have a real. The bottom line is we really don't know that. You could formulate this up a little bit different. This case is probably a case, like you said correctly, that Echa Tameh Echa Tohar. We don't know which is which, but at the end of the day, we have two people in front of us, and they are clearly both not Tohar. They cannot possibly both be Tohar. But Afal Bichay, Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as they ask separately, we're okay. Rabbi Yossi says, Bein kach u'bein kach t'mayin. Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't matter how they ask the question, they are always going to be tummy. So what exactly is the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? So Amar Rav Yitei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav, or some say Rabbi Yochanan, explained to us exactly what's going on. The Machlokes is not as clear as it appears. B'vas achas divrei kol t'mayin. Everybody agrees, if they really, truly come together, Reuven and Shimon are standing in front of us in days, and at the same time, and they're saying, Rabbis, tell us, are we Torah or not? So everybody agrees we cannot say Torah and Torah at the same time. That's just too much of a contradiction. But Zechazeh, everybody agrees that if they come and they ask the question hours apart, Divrei Kol Torah, so then they're both Torah. So what's the Machlokes? Lo nechu el bebali shol alav yal chaveiro. That the Machlokes of Rabbi Yossi is a very, very small window of a case. Namely, Reuven walks into base and it says, Rabbanim, I have two shalas to ask, one for myself and one for my friend. But the friend's not here. So Rabbi Yossi medamalei v'asachas, Rabbi Yehuda medamalei v'zechazeh. So that's a tricky shayla. I'm asking for myself and for somebody else. So on the one hand, both shalas are being asked together. On the other hand, the other fellow's not here. So that's a very, very nuanced question. Can the Beis Din say those words, you're both tahor, or do we have to call this is like similar to v'asachas, and we have to say it's tameh? So at the end of the day, what the Gemara tells us is that when there's an outright contradiction, we cannot outright contradict ourselves. When there's no contradiction at all, I mean, it's a contradiction in terms of time, but it's not befaneinu, it's not at the same time, then we're good to go. And the whole machlokes is a very, very technical, detailed, nuanced case of v'bali shal alav yachaveiro. So comes Tosus on the spot, on the 12th of the Ramakamas, and Tosus throws a curveball at us in the sugya. Comes Tosus and says, "Bevasachas devir kol tumeim, nira dahainu midirabbanon, the midiraisa fil bevasachas tahorim." One line Tosus. Usually I take one snip out of this is the entire Tosus. One line Tosus. Tosus says that you should just know that if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu in any of these cases, he would pass in your Torah and your Torah, even though they're asking you at the exact same moment. Why? Midaraisa, you follow Chazaka under all circumstances. So what's going on in this sugya? What's going on in this sugya, Tosfos claims, is a problem midirabbanan. Midirabbanan, this looks like what the Rishonim call a chuchot tlula. So Rashi uses the phrase. It looks like a joke. Chuchot tlula looks like it's a mockery, like it's foolish what's going on. Everyone's going to laugh at the rabbis. Everybody knows Reuven and Shimon walk down two separate paths. And everybody knows there's a mace under one of those paths. And they both walk the mace together. And now they come out. And everybody says, so what did the rabbi say? So the rabbi said, we're both Torah. The rabbi said, I don't know what they're talking about. The rabbi looks ridiculous. It's absurd. So in order to, it shouldn't look like the halacha is a chuchot lula. Therefore, Chazal instituted that if it's halachili b'vas achas, we're going to have to declare tameh. Even though we don't really want to, min haTorah we don't even have to, but mid derabbanan we're going to have to declare tameh. And now that we understand that mid derabbanan, Chazal made a special takana that in order to prevent the coverage, to speak of the Torah of the halacha, we have to declare tameh. So now the Tanoim were arguing psychologically, how bad does it look to declare tameh if they're both not here? If they're both in front of us, Vasachas, we have to say Tameh, Midrabanan, sorry, Chuchot Lula. If one's here today, one's here in an hour from now, that doesn't look so bad. No one's going to remember. If one guy comes in on behalf of both of them, is there Chuchot Lula or not? So basically, Tosfos took the entire sugya and knocked the entire sugya down a notch, down a rung. The whole sugya is on Midrabanan. Midaraisa, if you went to Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din, the answer would be unequivocally, Yotar and Yotar. I is a stira. Who cares? So what? There's a stira. Doesn't matter. You follow Chazaka Meikara, even in situations of outright tied to the Sazre. So now we have three toastim in Shas. Now we have to put together into the same cholent. We have a toastim of a Kama Daf Yud Aleph. The toastim says, Sveik Sveikas B'mokom tied to the Sazre, fail us. Pashas Min HaTorah. Tosus in Zvachim Daf Ayin in Kultur Ben Adam, who says that Rov B'mokom tied to the Sazre fails us. Pashas Min HaTorah. Tosus in Pesachim Daf Yud says Chazocha Beikar Kazuntei Chazocha Beikar. That's the greatest. That's one. What could possibly be wrong with the Chazocha, even if it's attached to the Sasrei? If it looks really, really, really terrible, so then we're gonna have to pull out a Chumah Midrabana Chuchot Lula. But that's not the real din. The real din is that Chazochas work, even though we know full well that we're contradicting ourselves. The question is conceptually, what's the lumdus? Why should this be so? Why should roves fail us in situations of tied to the sasrei, whereas chazakas are good? So the Gedolei Acharonim, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Shem Shmaya, all the Gedolei Acharonim basically say the same story, the same pismo, namely that should a particular klal in halacha be effective in a situation of a tie to the sasri or not, the answer is very simple. Is it a birur or is it an haga? It all boils down to the same shaila. If it's a birur, it is impossible to be mevarer two contradictory statements. That is why Rove fails us, and that is why Sveik Sveika, as an extension of Rove, fails us as well. Chazaka, say the Gedolei Acharonim, most of the Gedolei Acharonim assumed that a chazaka is not a birur altogether. The fact that something was true 6 months ago, that in no shape or form indicates that it is still true. I think, isn't there some kind of a phrase, some kind of a title? Past something is no indication of future something or other. Yeah. Yes. So whenever I hear that Chatzan radio, some radio announcement, something, past performance is not an indication of the future. It's trying to tell you, when you invest your money, don't think just because you made a lot of money last week, you can make a lot of money this week. So whenever I hear that klal, so that's mamish that's this klal. Namely, that chazaka is not an indication of anything. Chazaka doesn't prove anything under the sun. Chazaka is, the Torah Kedoshi gave us a rule, what do you do when you have sveikis? I've said this over many times, that people in life don't want to have sveikis. They want to live their lives. Everything should be clear as day. Everything should be, know exactly what to do. A bacha comes to me in the shiva, he doesn't know what to do in life. Should he major in this? Should he major in this? Should he marry this girl? Should he marry that girl? Should he go here? Should he go there? He's a million times. People want, and they get very nervous. Sveikis make us, that's what makes us nervous. We have sveikis. I always tell them the same story. I said, if the Rebbe Shalom didn't want to create a world with sveikis, then he wouldn't have given us the rules of Rose and chazokas and edim. The Torah understood there are sveikis in life, and now you have to figure out, what are you doing as sveikis? Sveikis are not supposed to paralyze you. You have to figure out what klolim to do. Very often, at the end of the day, we don't know. We're not sure. So when we have a suffix in something, so the Torah says, well, whatever you did last year, continue to do until you know to the contrary. Does that mean that last year was right? No. Does that mean that just because it was Torah yesterday, it's still Torah today? No. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't prove anything. But that's one of the rules that the Torah gave us. So we have a right to follow the rules of the Torah. Ben l'hokho ben l'hachmer. That's the way Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the world. So there's a principle of a chazaka, but it's not a birur. Therefore, come to Gedolei Acharonim and say, because Rove is a biror, therefore it fails us in a situation of a tie to disaster. Because Chazaka is not a biror, therefore it works in a situation of a tie to disaster. It sounds almost a little bit counterintuitive, because if I were to ask you which is stronger, which is better, I would say Rove is better than a Chazaka. Rove is mefarer. Chazaka is a big joke. We don't even know any. We don't know any facts. We have no beer whatsoever. So in the hierarchy of things, I would say that Rove is greater than a Chazaka. But that may be true. But in terms of this particular prat, so Rove will fail us because it's so strong, because it's so powerful. The harder they fall means if it's so great, Rove is so phenomenal, Rove is so strong. That's true. But now it's going to run into a problem. The problem is that it's not going to work for Machem Tata this house, right? Because it's going to try to be Mavara, and then you're going to realize, you can't be Mavara, because you're contradicting yourself. Oh, I can't be Mavara. I collapse on my face. Chazaka is not trying to be Mavara or anything. Chazaka is saying, I don't know, Chazaka is very meek, very, very low down on the bottom of the list. Chazaka said, listen, I can't do anything. I can't be mavar or anything. I have no koichas to prove anything to be true. There's no certainty in what I'm saying. But because I'm so little and so low and so humble, I can work even in situations of that to disaster. It's like a little bit there. The end of Pashas Va'era. So the Torah tells us about Machas Barad. So it tells us that Barad destroyed these trees and those trees. But some of the little light shvacha plants, the plants that hadn't really developed yet, so they were able to survive. What does the Torah have to tell us? Three psukim at the end of Eir, all about the botany of ancient Yom. Where the kusemis survived, where the chita survived, what's the difference? So the pshat is that it's coming to give an unbelievable musar to Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Paro, you're trying to make yourself really, really, really strong, but I'm stronger than you. I'm bigger than you. So I'm stronger than you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, gives him a mashal for the trees. He says, there's this powerful, unbelievable bara coming and screaming in the storm coming. So how do you react when you have this powerful storm? So if you try to stand up to the storm, try to assert yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to get smashed to smithereens. If you just go under a little bit, put your head down a little bit, and realize, I'm not so big, I'm not so strong, I'm kind of high on the ground, then the storm will pass you over and you'll be able to survive. So that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's musaf, because Paro didn't quite receive the musaf, but that was the musaf to Paro. So not exactly the same idea, but a similar fashion, that Rove is coming with this very, very powerful agenda. I'm going to change the whole world. I'm going to tell you what the facts are. That's very nice. That's wonderful, except that you can't do that because there's a tactic of the sasri that's overpowering you. Whereas Chazaka is not trying to accomplish too much. Chazaka is just trying to say, listen, I have no idea what the facts are, but anyway, follow what I have to say. So when you follow Chazaka, Chazaka will actually be effective. It's actually because of the nuance of difference between Rov and Chazaka that according to many Acharonim, this is actually the reason for another phenomena that we find in the sugyas we've been talking about many, many times over this year and in previous years. There is a famous sugya, we just spoke about it last week, about what do you do when you have a clash between a Rov and a Chazaka. Rov points in one direction, and a Chazaka points in the other direction. So remember we had a Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan last week about, I have an Issa, I have a dough, and the dough used to be Tahar, and now I see that a child touched the dough, and there's an 80% chance this child's tummy. Why? Because children like to play with the dead mice, dead lizards. I don't know for a fact the child is tummy, but I strongly suspect that he is. So what do you do? So we paskin la'alach, at least midaraisa, ruba chazak ruba adif. That midaraisa we paskin, that you follow the rove. We spoke about this earlier about chalof poter, about the milk of the b'chor, right? We spoke about this not that long ago. That whenever you have a clash between a chazak and a rove, so la'alach we paskin ruba chazak ruba adif. Why is that true? What's the rationale for that? So it's unclear. The Gemara never really explains exactly what's going on. So many acharonim explain what's going on is as follows. Very, very simple. When you have a rove is mevarer. So when rove is mevarer, that the facts are X, you no longer have a latest hasofek. Chazokas are given for people who have sveikis. Chazokas are not given for someone who doesn't have a sofek. When you have a latest hasofek, then the Torah gives you rules. What do you follow? Do you follow rove? Do you follow chazok? Do you follow edim, etc.? If I don't have a sofek, so then chazokas doesn't speak to me. Let's say, for example, I know that I'm tamei. So I'm going to say, well, maybe I'm still tar because last week I was tar. But you know that you went to the cemetery. You know that you're tamei. So well, what kind of, there's no suffix anymore. So come to Gedalei Acharonim and explain to us, when you have a rove, you don't have a suffix anymore. Since you don't have a suffix, Mamela, it's not shaykh to follow chazoka. So ruba v'chazoka, ruba adif, is the outgrowth of the fact that rove is a biror and chazoka is dafka, not a biror. So it's interesting, if I would ask you, which is greater, rove or chazoka? So it depends what kind of a shali you're presenting. If you're presenting a clash between the two, then we paskin rove is greater than chazoka. And the reason why rove is greater than chazoka is because rove is a biror and chazoka is an hoga. But then if I would ask you, well, which is more effective in a situation tied to the sasrei, then we flip, then it's benafichu. Chazoka becomes more effective than rove for the exact same reason. It's dafka because of that characteristic of rove, that rove is a biror, that is what enables it to overcome a chazaka, and it is dafka, that characteristic, that forces us to say that's no longer effective in a situation of tied to disaster. So the answer to the question, which is in a sense more effective, rove or chazaka, the answer is all depends. If they're coming against each other, then rove is going to beat out chazaka, because rove is mevarer with the emesis, there's no suffix anymore. But if they're going independently in a situation with the disaster, then chazaka will be effective, and rove is going to fail us, exactly the same reason. So rove and chazaka are similar, and they address issues of sveikas, but they work in radically different ways, and because of the different characteristics, that's why they're going to have different effects in different areas of halacha.
Is
that
a kind of
chazaka? Okay, so varaya, that's a very, very tricky one. So that's probably not a chazaka. That's probably what's called the halacha muhsak. But when I have something, let's say I'm wearing this tie, so it's not just a chazaka that I own the tie. I'm muhsak on the tie. I'm holding on to the tie. What may be related to what you're saying is, let's say I have a situation where I'm not holding on to something, but we know for a fact I used to be the owner. Let's say there's this cow sitting out in the field, so I'm not muhsak on the cow, and now we're having a fight who owns the cow. So Beis Din knows that I used to own the cow. So that's not called muhsak, that's called cheskes marakama. So cheskes marakama was a big machlokes between the two brothers, between the ketzos and his brother. Is that called chazaka meikara? Or is that different chazaka meikara? That's already a whole nother world. I had to wait for third paragraph of Basra for those days. But that may be related to this question.
Muhsak is a greater
concept. Muhsak is a little bit of a different concept, right? Muhsak is a little bit different. The Sheikh Shemaitz explains that why is it that Rove doesn't work against Muhsak, but Rove does work against the Chazaka? Chazaka Meikara, right? We pass in Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. So why should that be so? Why does Rove effective against regular Chazaka, but it fails against Muhsak? So Sheikh Shemaitz explains that it's a motion that we can understand maybe even better, Bisman Hazeh. The Sheikh Shemaitz was living 20 years ago, but he explains it in almost like 2019 in the terminology. He says that Rove is almost like we would call today like real time. That means Rov is playing out in front of us right now. The Rov is existent right now. Chazaka means I have absolutely no real information now. I'm just basing myself on what I knew from a month ago. A month ago, this is the way the world used to look. So I'm hoping and praying that nothing has changed since then. But Rov is the here and now. It's like when I quote this example in Yeshiva, so I always give the mashal. Said that when I give the mashal to my bachur in Yeshiva, most of them weren't even born from the mashal. That's the problem. Well, things that I used to think were current events are now history in their eyes. So I remember when the first Gulf War. So it was took place back in 1991. So I remember they used to say that this was the first war that was brought to you by CNN. That means this war was the first war that you're sitting in your living room and your mom's watching the battle. It used to be that you'd read in the newspaper, the Halavai, you'd read the newspaper the next day to find out what happened the day before. In the old days, at the War of 1812, you fought a war and you hoped and prayed the war was still going on. That we know the facts were that every once in a while they fought a battle and there was already a peace treaty that was signed 6 months before in England, but nobody knew about it. So it took a little time for things to catch up. So CNN was mechadish to us that you can watch a war from your own living room. So now we know we live in a world today that nobody wants old information. Nobody wants what were the facts an hour ago. We want real time. Everything's got to be mamash at the split second. So that's exactly what the Sheish Meitzer says. He says that Chazaka is old information. Nebuch, if you don't have anything up to date, so the best you can do is you follow the old information. He said, but if you have new information, if you have up-to-date information, then the up-to-date information is obviously more valid than the old information. So he said, Rov is in front of our eyes right now. It's by Sheo Sham. We're looking at the Rov right now. We know for a fact that this is the Rov now. Chazaka, we have no idea what's going on really now. We're guessing. Our best guess is what happened a week ago. So says the Sheish Meitzer, it's common sense that when you have a Rov against the Chazaka, you have up-to-date information against old information. Therefore, the up-to-date information wins. So the Sheish Meitzer is not saying what we said. We said that Rov v'Chazaka, Rov v'Adif, because one's a Bira and one's an Hava. He's doing a little bit of a different twist. But then he turns around and he says, and now we understand why Ein Hochin b'mamanach HaRov. Why does Muchsuk ultimately beat out Rov? Because Muchsuk is not a Chazaka Bekaran, in response to your question. Muchsuk is now. Muchsuk is, I'm giving you this tie because you used to own the tie. No. I'm giving you the tie because you're wearing the tie right now, by Sheo Sham. So now you want to use Rov against a Muchsuk, said the Sheish Meitzer. That's not going to work. Rov, at best, is going to work against a Chazaka Bekaran, but it's not going to work against a Muchsuk. And that sets the stage for the big machlokes of him and his brother. What would we say about if I don't have a muchzuk, but I have a chazoka cheskes murakama? I used to own the animal. Right now the animal's in the field, so nobody has a muchzuk with the animal. I used to own the animal. So is used to owning the animal the lach equivalent of muchzuk, or is used to owning the animal the lach equivalent of a chazoka mekar? That was the machlokes between the two brothers. So again, that's ready. Beyond that scope right now. But I'll call upon him in terms of asugya. So we see how this klal of Tosfos about the limitation of Sveik in a situation with that to the Sasrei fits in very nicely into the whole picture, assuming, like the Chumash Rashba from earlier on in the week, that ultimately Sveik boils down to a Rov, which again the Rambam himself didn't buy into, but the Rashba and others bought into, and the differences between why Rovs do fail us, whereas Chazakas can still work even against that to Sasrei.
I understand how a Rov can be a Bira. If I have a classic case of 10 butcher shops, and I don't know which ones are kosher, I have 6 are kosher and 4 are not kosher, I find a piece of meat. Not clear to me. As if I'm just playing the odds. I'm not sure that this is kosher.
Right.
Why?
I'm gonna say something that may be tied to the Sasrei. It's a halachic birur. We're gonna have to leave it at that for Shabbos. It means the Torah says you have a right to declare that it's mavur already, and you no longer have a latest asafik. You're right. In the world, in the real, it depends what you call the real world. But if other magashbi, it's not mavur. You're right. It's a 51% rov. It's not mavur. Right. Right. But we can't go down that path of the Sheish Meitzer right now between Ruv Deleisko and Issachar Muzz because we got that Shachar.